We continue in the Gospel of Mark this week, in the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 17, just after Jesus has told his disciples that if they want to enter the kingdom, they have to become like children. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every time I hear this text, I think I am so far from living like Jesus wants me to live. I know that Christ calls us to give up everything and follow him, and I like to think that if God were to strike a deal with Satan and strip everything away like a modern-day story of Job, I'd still be faithful. That the house, the car, the pension, the choices, the privilege, all the things are not that important to me. But then I think to myself, well, if those things aren't that important, then why don't you just give them up? If God really is at the center of your life, then why don't you just forsake everything and follow him? So I was intrigued when I heard about Darryl Watson, a young playwright in New York, who in 2009 gave away everything he owned, changed his name to Peace Pilgrim, and set out to walk from Delaware to California. Darryl had been a devout Christian as a teenager, but had drifted from the church. He wanted to find out, in his own words, his mission statement. He wanted an answer from God. He fasted and he prayed. He studied under a shaman and took a trip to the Holy Land, but none of this seemed to work. And that's when he came across the story of a woman named Peace Pilgrim, who walked across the country for 28 years. She followed Jesus' directives literally, relying on the kindness and the generosity of strangers. And Daryl wanted this. He sold everything he had. He put the cash in an envelope that he planned to give to charity. He wiped his computer clean and left it with his cell phone in the hotel where he stayed the night before he began his journey, with a note for the cleaning staff to please take it. I think one of the reasons the story of the rich man is so disturbing to so many of us is that he really wants to do what is right. He wants to be faithful to God. He follows the commandments. He does what he is supposed to do. If anyone is faithful, then it is this guy. Unlike some of the other religious characters in Mark's gospel, this man is sincere. He's a lot like many of the people I meet in the church. People who want to do right. People who sincerely want to be faithful. And following the rules isn't enough, according to Jesus. Not for this man. He's got to give it all away. Back in Delaware, Daryl tried to give away his money, roughly about $2,000. He walked past a church and talked with its pastor. He tried to give him the money, but the pastor thought that he must have stolen it. So they struck up a conversation, and Daryl said he was walking for peace. The pastor said, "Well, you know, the only way to peace is through Jesus." Daryl said, yes, I understand that. I used to believe it myself, but now I disagree." A heated theological debate ensued, and the pastor refused to take the money. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you go into a town and you try and spread the gospel and they don't hear you, you leave the town and wipe the dirt off your feet," the pastor told Daryl. "So I wipe my feet off at you." So Daryl went on his way. He wrote "for charity" on the envelope, and he dropped it in the first mailbox that he saw. He slept on the steps of the Catholic church that night. It was cold, and he had no sleeping bag. Sometimes I wonder what good giving everything away would actually do for anybody. Would it help the poor, or would it just help me feel more faithful? On my own search in college, I forsook the college campus on many weekends for several small, poor communities in the eastern part of North Carolina. I wanted to do what was right. I wanted to give my life for justice, which was as close as I could come to Jesus at the time. And one night in a tiny town where I was sleeping on the floor of a small African-American church, one of the leaders of the all-black community asked me what in the world I thought I was doing coming out here on the weekends. I wasn't sure how to answer. "This is how I want to spend my life," I said, "you know, in the struggle." The leader looked at me thoroughly unconvinced. "You want to help," he said, "then go back home and tell your people to stop oppressing mine." Sometimes the things Christ calls us to let go of can't be jettisoned by leaving them behind. Sometimes the things Christ calls us to let go of have to be relinquished by staying put, instead of imagining that we can flee from them. On day two, Daryl made it to a college town. In a fast food restaurant where he drank free water, a college student noticed him. And after learning about his mission, the college student took off his red sweatshirt and gave it to him. "You're going to need this more than me," he told Daryl. That college student was right. Daryl was totally unprepared for this trip. He had done little hiking ever. He didn't have warm clothes, he had no food, and by day three, he realized he was in serious trouble. He tried to keep his mind on God, but the cold was much colder than he was prepared for, and no one had offered him shelter yet, and he was afraid. At 2 a.m, after a police officer refused to let him get warm in his squad car, Daryl passed a billboard that said, it's okay to make mistakes as long as they're new ones. It was as close as he had come to a sign from God. He couldn't walk anymore, and he knew it. And so he found a hotel with a sympathetic manager, and Daryl called his mom. In the bath, in the room that his mother had rented for him that night, he realized that the urgency of the questions that had first driven him to give up everything had vanished. The questions were still very important, but having the answers to those questions seemed less so. I know that Jesus calls us to follow him, but I'm not always sure where. I know that following him necessarily means leaving a lot behind. It means leaving behind the idols of money, material things, sometimes nation, sometimes even family when those things distract us from the good. And this is good news. We don't need much in life to know the fullness of God's love and salvation. We don't need that much to love our neighbor as ourselves, to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with God. A lot of what we crave after, what we put in our storehouses, what we are tempted by, what we thirst after, a lot of it are things that cannot satisfy. Poor substitutes for our real craving, self-medications that dampen the symptoms of our thirst without ever quenching it. Jesus calls us to leave the things that cloud us from communion with God and each other, but leaving is always only half the call. Jesus calls us toward God and toward the world that God is creating, toward a world where family is marked not by the hierarchies of the world, but by the loving kindness and open hospitality marked by the family of Jesus. Jesus calls us toward a world where things are tools to be used for healing and loving and making people whole. Toward a world where nations measure their success in how well the least among us in our world are faring. Toward a world where violence and racism are forsaken, where fear and the things we use to insulate ourselves from its effects are relinquished. Jesus calls us away from the things that don't give life and toward a relationship at the root of all of life. And the hard thing is that this life can't be entered into through our own self-improvement. It can't be entered into by making the right choices to be obedient to the right rules or obedient to the right set of faith doctrines. That's what makes the Christian gospel so difficult for any of us to finally accept or even understand. This life can't be entered into by working harder to be more spiritual than anyone else, or more frugal than anyone else, or more righteous than anyone else, or more obedient than anyone else. It can only be entered into as a child, as one who experiences life as a gift that we do not earn and cannot secure. A gift that depends on someone, on something other than myself. A life that is good at its roots because it was given to us freely by God. And while I can't believe that God calls all of us, every single one of us, to give away every single thing under our temporary possession, I do know that it is very hard to know the freedom of that gift of life if we think we have earned it. And it is hard to know that freedom if we are afraid to lose it. It is hard to enter the kingdom in any other way than resting in the grace of God. In 2013, Bono, the lead singer in U2, presented Warren Buffett with a Forbes Lifetime Achievement Award for philanthropy. Buffett continues to give away billions of dollars and has pledged to give away his entire $58 billion fortune within 10 years after his death. But Buffett himself saw the hypocrisy of him receiving such an award. The truth is, I have never given a penny away that had any utility to me, Buffett told the 150-plus billionaires and near-billionaires who gathered at the United Nations delegates' dining room. I'm very grateful for this award. I accept this award, he said, but I'd like to accept it not only for myself, but for those millions of people who really give away money that is important to them because they see somebody else where they think can do even more good. Mr. Buffett seemed to understand that pure generosity always thinks first about the impact of giving on someone other than the giver. The kind of generosity that Mr. Buffett will probably never fully know. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Then again, it's impossible for anyone to be saved. Only God is good. And the good news is that nothing is impossible for this God.